We are so excited to announce that we have opened the doors to our private membership community, The Symposium. Inside The Symposium, you have access to all of our free and paid content, daily prompts to pull to, live monthly workshops, reading room Zooms, and monthly virtual meetups. We also host monthly challenges and have a lively and engaged community, as well as tarot spread and resource libraries. The Symposium is an incredible community of like-minded folks who value the intersection of tarot, mental health, self-reflection, and personal growth. We're really excited to meet you all inside the symposium. So head over to thetarotdiagnosis.com and click Join the Symposium today to become a part of our community.
You're listening to The Tarot Diagnosis. We're your hosts. I'm Luna.
And I'm Shannon. We're both clinical psychotherapists who trained together at Johns Hopkins.
Now we are both in private practice in Tampa, Florida, and in Baltimore, Maryland.
We also both happen to have a love for tarot.
Each episode, we work to demystify the tarot and explore its connections to mental and emotional health.
While this podcast may feel therapeutic, it is not meant to take the place of psychotherapy.
Join us while we pull cards to better understand ourselves and those around us. Hey, Shannon.
Hey, Luna.
So this topic feels so pertinent in my own life right now. And I think in the lives of so many people. I was really delighted when you suggested this earlier this week. We're talking about being stuck in a rut. And I think that we've all been there. We all know what it's like. Many of us are there right now. And I think it's an interesting topic to explore, not just what is it? How do we conceptualize it? How do we shift it? And how do we recognize when it's a larger problem?
Oh, I like that. How do we recognize when it's a larger problem? I think, yeah, because when I was thinking about this episode, I was like, you know, there are a couple different directions we could take, and this could be something kind of minor, but this could also be something deeper. It really kind of depends on what's going on. Like, is this whole being stuck in a rut kind of a side effect of boredom? Is it avoidance? Which is interesting because this is on the heels of our procrastination episode. Is it because you're not feeling inspired lately? Or, I mean, to go deeper than, or is this like depression? Or maybe none of those. Honestly, maybe we just are supposed to be pausing. You know, we live in a society where we're constantly supposed to be going and going, and sitting still is kind of frowned upon, or we feel bad if we're not actively doing anything. So we can get really uncomfortable and feel like we're stuck or in a rut if we maybe aren't progressing or doing something that we feel like we're supposed to be doing.
See, I think that that's such an interesting tension that you just brought up, this place between, is this a time when I'm supposed to be Four of Swordsing and like really pausing and resting and reflecting, which I think sometimes is a good answer to being stuck in a rut. But I, at least the way it's showing up for me right now and the way I hear other people talking about it, it feels more like this very strange place of I'm sick to death of everything. Everything feels super boring and monotonous. Yeah. And here's the thing. I know that I need to change something to get out of the rut, but there is this piece of me that's resistant to it. I don't want to. I don't want to have to put the effort in. It's a little bit, it's a little Four of Cupsy, right? It's a little like, no, I don't want that. Thank you very much. Even though I know that that is what would be good for me, I would prefer to sit in my mood.
Oh, totally. And what's so interesting, because I'm hearing you talk about this from an individual perspective, the reason we decided to do this episode is because it seems like everyone in the tarot community specifically is in a rut. And, you know, we posted a spread about it, and we've been talking about it for a couple weeks, you know, on Instagram, and everyone's like, yes, me too, me too, me too. So there's this collective experience as well. And I was telling Luna before we hopped on here, I was like, I think we've done an episode on feeling stuck. And it was back in March of 2021. So here we are 2 years later, also in March, where there's this same kind of collective energy of, yeah, just like being stuck and being in a rut and not really sure what we want, how to get out of it, where to find meaning, where to find inspiration. So it's interesting to think about it kind of seasonally and time-wise. I know you've talked a lot about kind of coming out of winter and how you don't enjoy winter and how it really, really affects you. I've never lived, well, no, I take it back. I lived in Baltimore with you for a while. So I did have winters, but I loved winter. So it never really affected me. But now I live in Arizona. I've lived in Florida. I've lived in California and Georgia. So like we never really had like true winter. So I feel like I've never really been affected seasonally, but I think a lot of people are. So it kind of makes me wonder if we're kind of getting out of this winter area. And now everyone's like, now what the hell do I do?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there is something seasonal. I think that there is something true to that. I think unwintering and coming into spring is actually like almost a painful process. We look forward to it, but it for some reason is harder than we think it's going to be. So I think that's true. I think one thing that delights me about the work that you and I do here is that we can mix it up every moment by shuffling and pulling. Now, sometimes actually, if you're in a tarot rut, it's kind of like, I don't like this card. I don't like this card. But I do, I guess I'm hopeful for this, you know, the next 30 seconds and what's going to happen when we shuffle both of us together and try to pull on this topic. And I guess, you know, there's this faith or hope and inspiration.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's see what happens. Should we pull?
I think so. I decided to mix it up. I was grabbing Golden Art Nouveau and I was like, no. Mm-hmm. So I grabbed Scorpio Sea Tarot, which is a deck that I really like. And it really does give some different images. So hopefully that helps. How about you?
So I decided to switch it up too. I'm using the Wandering Star. And speaking of switching it up, so I actually, I often feel like a hypocrite being a therapist because, you know, even doing this episode today, there's been a few things in my personal life that I've been stuck in a rut with. And the last, like, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks, I've been like, I really want to restart my yoga practice. It's been a long time. It was really regular back when COVID originally hit, and I've been putting it off, but I did it this morning. Before this episode, because I was like, I can't talk about being in a rut and maybe potentially how to get out of it if I'm not going to force myself to get out of my own rut. So yeah, okay, that happened this morning.
Here's a quick key question. Did you enjoy it?
I did.
Okay.
Right, because that's important.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's one of the things. Sometimes when somebody's stuck in a rut, they sort of, there's a lot of shoulds around it.
Yeah.
I should do my yoga practice. And like, then you do it. But if you don't enjoy it, no, well, now, like, it almost is like you made it worse.
Right. Yeah. And that's a good, yeah, that's something good to talk about, actually. So two cards flew out for me, and you're going to laugh because one of them is a card that you literally just mentioned, Four of Cups. And Three of Swords. So I'll talk about this together, I guess. What about you? What do you pull?
So this is light. I pulled Death.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Four of Cups, Three of Swords, and Death. No big deal. We're off to, to a good start.
I love it, though, because I feel like that's what I'm saying, is that we do need to parse out. Like, if I'm talking to a client, I would have to parse out, do I think that this person is experiencing a clinical depression? Do I think that this person has gotten to a place of clinical burnout? Or do I think that this person is, you know, just kind of stuck? And I think that we can still legitimize and say being stuck in a rut or being in a holding pattern, it does feel like this. It does feel like Death. It does actually feel like Three of Swords, and it definitely feels like Four of Cups.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, so the deck I'm using, the Wandering Star, is very, very colorful, very creative. So I think that's kind of impacting my perception of these cards right now. So I might go in a slightly different direction in terms of being in a rut, but you know, these two cards together kind of make me think about often when we're in a rut, I feel like it usually is because we're in a rut relating to something maybe creative or something that is supposed to be a form of maybe self-care or maybe even what we perceive as like self-indulgence. So you might ask yourself, okay, was the root of my stuckness or me being at a standstill, maybe a lack of motivation, because now suddenly I'm questioning myself and my capabilities or the purpose of this, mm-hmm. or maybe even some self-doubt. Like it can, and if you're dealing with that, because then it can feel impossible to get any sort of task started or move forward, which is giving the Four of Cup vibes. And then when you feel stuck and you're not moving forward and you're just sitting under that tree, that's where I feel like Three of Swords comes in, because then you're kind of just ruminating on what you had mentioned earlier, the shoulds or what if. And then there's this idea of, well, if I do kind of get out of my stuckness or this rut, what if I fail at whatever it is that I'm doing yeah. to try and get out of? And then, so those feelings are then layered, because you might have this fear of failure, but a lot of times, I feel like we don't actually talk about this a lot. I was reflecting on this earlier. The reason we often end up in a rut is because something may have happened, some sort of like setback or perceived failure that has caused us to kind of be stuck. Like if this person's sitting under this tree, like, oh shit, like I fucked up or something happened. So I'm just going to sit here with my arms crossed because I'm in the pain of the Three of Swords. And I am just going to like not move forward. I'm just going to sit here and just, you know, wallow in my misery, you know, or there's another component of maybe not wanting to get out of this rut. And I'm kind of going at this at a weird angle, but hopefully you're following. There's this perception that exists of maybe I can't progress enough, or I'm not progressing enough and now I'm stuck. So why bother?
Yeah. I mean, there's what you're saying is super interesting. I would read it like slightly differently, but I think it's all true, right? To me, the stuck in the rut is actually a little bit more mundane, like sort of like the creative is like, I don't even have any room for that. And I don't even know if it comes from failure as much as failure of purpose or failure of meaning at like,
yeah.
You know, like it's more of a sense of, look, I've done all these things mm-hmm. and yet I wake up and, you know, whatever, I do my day and everything's mm-hmm. fine, but I don't really understand what the point of this is. Yeah. And I kind of worked my ass off to get here. And then that Three of Swords hits me hard right there of almost mm-hmm. a betrayal of, I thought that the idea was at this point I would be happy. And the truth is that like I'm dissatisfied mm-hmm. and feel like there is no point. And that's yeah. not like, it sounds dramatic when you sort of say it, you know, and that's when the client says like, I'm not thinking of, you know, anything. I'm like, I know.
Right.
But, like, but what you're saying there is that you're really questioning purpose or meaning. And I think that like, and that goes beautifully with the death card. I think that there is some important conversations that happen there and can be helpful. I mean, like that's the thing about being stuck in a rut that's so interesting is that we could approach it totally from a behavioral standpoint. Okay, it sounds like you need to like mix up your routine, drive to work mm-hmm. a different way, plan a trip, do something you enjoy, play upbeat music, you know, like, which is true. And sometimes that is actually kind of all you need. But then sometimes also, or instead, what you really need is I think I need to reconsider what purpose means to me.
Ooh, so I love the way you just talked about all of that because, so I was telling Luna before we hopped on here, I pulled three cards to guide the episode and wasn't really sure what to do with any of them, but
I knew it would work.
I had faith. It's like, she's going to say something that's going to help. But this, I had pulled Nine of Wands and I was like, you know, what do I really want to say about that? I don't know. I was feeling stuck with this card for some reason, but I don't know. There's something that you just said that was so beautiful and kind of like helped me look at this card a little bit differently because yes, if you know, we talked about this before we hopped on here too, like if you Google, you know, becoming unstuck or how to get out of a rut, everything that you just listed will come up. And it's so annoying. We all roll our eyes, you know, and it's funny. My partner said something to me the other day, like, why don't you just do this thing? It's like, because I can't just do the thing. It's too hard or I don't wanna. And it's not necessarily behavioral, like you said, you know, there's this idea of There's emotion behind it. Well, what is the message I'm sending to myself about this thing that I used to do that I can't do anymore? Mm-hmm. And I think the Nine of Wands comes in because maybe our experience with that thing became too much. And now we're kind of just standing there, still wanting to protect the thing, but not feeling enthusiastic about it to continue engaging with it. And when you reach the Nine of Wands energetically, it can be really isolating. And, oh, actually, I'll bring in another card that I pulled that I wasn't sure what I was going to do with. I pulled the Two of Cups and I was like, that's too positive for this episode. But I feel like the Two of Cups belongs with the Nine of Wands because now it's like, okay, so maybe this is about being vulnerable and opening yourself up and saying, hey, I'm experiencing this thing. I'm not really sure what it's about, but it feels really isolating. Here's what I'm going through. You might be surprised, like what happened on Instagram recently. We've been talking about being in a rut and so many comments, me too, me too, me too. Mm-hmm. And people were saying, oh, it feels so good to know I'm not alone in this. So maybe this Nine of Wands is about not just standing alone in your stillness and maybe talking about it and just being like, yeah, this is just hard right now. And I'm not quite sure what's going on, but it feels uncomfortable. But I don't know. Can you come stand here with me?
That's lovely, right? That Two of Cups feels interesting because you could read it a different way. And that I don't think I've ever read it this way. But instead of it being about, can I bring in a companion? Maybe it's about your relationship. Maybe one of the figures is you, and maybe one of the other figure is sort of the thing you're trying to engage you with.
Yes. Whether it's that's how like, I thought about it first. Yeah.
Right. Like, so it's yeah, your tarot practice, or it's your yoga, or it's like your work. And I think that Nine of Wands does feel connected to it. And it goes to that Three of Swords too, around the idea that life does kind of beat us up. And there are moments with anything that becomes precious to us, a tarot practice, an art, a relationship, where it gets real and it gets bumpy and it gets hard. And we have to sort of examine our relationship with the thing and kind of wonder, okay, what am I getting out of this? Which is the question that we've been asking the whole time. What do I get out of this? What do I get out of this? Mm-hmm. And begin to ask, and what am I giving into this? Mm-hmm. And I think that goes back to Four of Cups of, I'm tired. I don't want to be giving anymore. I don't feel like I'm getting enough back. That doesn't mean that we throw it all away. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it means I need something new. And sometimes it means I need to re-engage in a different way, in a more deep way.
Ooh, that's interesting. I need to re-engage in a different way. So, oh, actually, that reminds me, I feel like I haven't talked about her in a while. Esther Perel, my favorite, says that she equates being stuck to rigidity. So basically, when you feel stuck in something, or in this case, when you're in a rut, that means you become too stoic or too rigid in whatever it is that you've engaged in or whatever kind of system you're existing in. So it would almost be worth examining, in what ways have I become too rigid in this thing? And I guess the flip side of that, though, is if you don't have enough stability, then everything's chaotic. So that kind of reveals this cognitive distortion of like all or nothing. So now you have to figure out, what's the gray area for me? I can't be too rigid, but I can't be too unstable. So for example, the tarot practice. In what ways have you become too rigid in your tarot practice that now your brain is kind of shut down to it? Or in what ways have you become too rigid in your relationship, or too rigid, you know, with something else in your life? I feel like it might provide some decent insight.
Oh, I think so. I cut the deck a minute ago and I pulled Justice, which feels like exactly right for what you're saying. I think that sometimes we start thinking about our lives in rigid ways, and we get into the transactional pieces. If I do yoga, then I expect to have more energy or like whatever. And then what if it doesn't work? We get like, that's not fair about it. And I think that recognizing that often we go through life sort of expecting things to be fair and to work out. I put this in, I get this out. I put this in, I get this out.
Ah, yes.
Right? And when it doesn't feel that way, I mean, that's where I've been feeling kind of stuck in a rut. I get up every morning, I drive my kids to school, I come home, I talk to clients, I, you know, like, and, you know, then I pay my bills and then I do the whole thing again. And it doesn't feel like this life that really, like, objectively, my life looks really full and really meaningful, but I'm not feeling it right now. And I feel like I should, but that's kind of not the way it works right now or all the time.
I feel like I have so many things to say. So I realized, so this today's episode topic, I guess, impacted my morning more than I realized. So the way you even just described, like, how you feel about your day, like, I feel the same way. I was thinking about this last night. I was like, all right, well, I'm going to wake up around the time that I wake up, and I'm going to take the dog outside, and I'm going to make the same exact cup of coffee, and I'm going to have the same exact breakfast, and then I'm going to, like, come in my office, and I'm going to send the same emails, and I'm going to, you know, like, my whole routine. And I was like, ugh. And then I didn't even intentionally do this, but because I don't know, I subconsciously knew that we were going to be talking about this, I didn't make a cup of coffee and I did not make the breakfast I always make. In fact, I, like, waited several hours for some reason. I don't know. Maybe I was being rebellious. But then I didn't even eat until, like, I don't know, 10 minutes before we hopped on here. I went and grabbed an orange and a string cheese. That was my breakfast. But I don't know. It was interesting. So even so, I was just, like, subconsciously, like, trying to change something. But yeah, it didn't suddenly miraculously make me feel super inspired or excited. And in fact, I'm kind of having a shitty morning today. So, like, all of these, the yoga and the, like, changing my routine, it didn't actually help me feel better. But it was interesting, because in what you're saying is really important, because our brains function in patterns. And if our brain automatically wants to be able to predict what's going to happen. And so in some ways, that's where our brain works against us, because it wants us to sit under the tree with our arms crossed and that four of cups, because, you know, we can see the other three cups clearly in front of us, and the fourth cup that's being offered, our brain's like, oh, nope, we don't know what the outcome of that is. So even though we're, you know, uncomfortable, we're just going to sit here because we can predict exactly what's going to happen when we sit here. Versus, you know, if we were to say, oh, I'm going to go grab that cup and go on that little adventure and see what happens, the brain might go a little haywire and be like, oh, we haven't done this before. This makes me nervous. I'm anxious. I can't predict what's going to happen. So we really shouldn't be doing this. So in some ways, we kind of have to work against the way our brain wants to function in order to get out of a rut, or to create new patterns in order to feel better. But that takes a lot of work and a lot of effort. And sometimes if we're depressed or we're experiencing something bigger than just simply being bored with our routine, it can feel impossible to do that.
Right. And that's where you do sort of start to say, does it feel impossible because I'm in a rut? Which is, the answer can very well be yes. Or am I experiencing a depression? And I think that, ooh, this is an interesting kind of uncomfortable place. I might argue that maybe we don't necessarily need to define it. I think that often I'll have clients who want to define it very quickly. And being able to say, can we sit in this though and explore it a little bit, is super uncomfortable. Nobody wants to do that, because, like, this is gross. Like, this is very uncomfortable. Right. But there is, how do I want to say, like, there is a balancing act on this one that I think that, I mean, I had started doing this really, I don't know, it feels silly. I've started playing a upbeat song at the end of my evening. So I, you know, talk to my last client and I, like, grab my phone and I, like, turn on, like, an upbeat song. And I've done it, like, three nights. And I feel really goofy because I'm just sitting there, you know, on my sofa listening to an upbeat song. Last night, my daughter came down and started doing laundry, and she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm listening to music. And she's very sweet about it. But it's me sort of, like, grasping at straws, kind of be like, can I do something? That's a behavioral modification. And I think it does help. But do I think that listening to an upbeat song at the end of the day is going to fix me being in a rut? No, right. But I think that there are sort of places where we can say, I can do yoga, or I can do this, or I mean, you know, ran out to Panera to get this drink that I'm addicted to, and I opened my sunroof. Okay. Like, that's a thing I can do. But I think that it's both and. I think that we do need to kind of challenge ourselves to do something different. But I think that we also need to create this space for, I feel beat up. I feel broken. I feel betrayed. And there's a part of me that wants to turn my back on the world and say, screw you guys, I'm going home. I'm not doing this anymore.
I feel like you're just in my brain right now. Like it's funny. I feel like super connected to you today. Like, oh, we're just like having the same conversation with ourselves and each other in our head. I feel like that naturally kind of brings us to the Hanged Man, which I really feel like is the core of this whole conversation. You saying creating space is really kind of what opened that door, because the space is so important when we're stuck and in a rut, because I think we do often feel like something is supposed to miraculously change or happen if we make one small change, or maybe not at all. And we get annoyed and grumpy. And like, the truth is, we do have to kind of take the reins, and we do want, but we want to push back against that because we resent that we have to do that sometimes. But I think that's where the work lies. Like, why am I resenting this? Why am I pushing back? You know, why am I not just allowing myself to kind of be uncomfortable in this moment? And I think that space you were talking about is where the observation lies within the Hanged Man, and being able to kind of like understand yourself and the world around you a little bit better. And like, the card is about forming new perspectives, like seeing things in a different way, and really just kind of like about recalibrating yourself. In fact, Paul Quinn says something about Hanged Man. He says something along the lines of like, that's where like his composure lies in non-resistance. And I think that's fascinating, because in the Hanged Man, if you are resistant to that space that's been created for observation, and you don't surrender to just kind of being in the discomfort, if you start wiggling around, you're going to have your leg tangled up, like your circulation's going to be cut off, like it's going to be really bad. But if you look at the card, like the guy looks pretty peaceful. So I guess the question is like, why am I resistant to the pause? What makes me want to thrash around? Or why do I not want to allow myself to hang upside down? All of those questions are really important to ask yourself.
Well, I mean, yes, absolutely. And I think that to a degree, we can answer them. The reason I don't want to do it is because I feel like crap right now. And it feels terrible to be hanging upside down in this rope around my ankle. But I also like, it feels terrible to wake up in the morning and be like, here I go again. Mm-hmm. And to not feel like, I mean, that here I go again is very much like being the Hanged Man, right? Like, I don't really have a choice here. Like, I suppose I could call in sick or whatever, but I'm going to have to do it again the next day. Like, I am, and I can't really cut myself down, not without dire consequences. And I'm not willing to do that. And so it really is this uncomfortable place where we have to do kind of a mental gymnastic of how can I see this differently. Before we started the episode, I'll pull like right beforehand, I pulled five of coins, and like that feels very Hanged Man to me too. We struggle with the tension between the way I want my life to look and the way I think it should look and what I think I am deserving of and the realities of suffering in this world. And I think that when we start to claim our suffering and saying, of course I am bored, of course I feel like I'm not getting what I am owed, of course this world is filled with suffering, of course I've had some unfair things happen. Once we can start to learn to make our peace with that and accept that life is filled with suffering, that's Buddhism, right? That then we can start to hang man and start to see things from a slightly different perspective. But I mean, I get stuck with the shoulds. I want my life to feel better than it is because I've done all the right things.
Because I've done all the right things. I feel like the one thing that keeps coming up for me hearing you talk and just having this conversation is the lack of mystery. Everything feels so predictable. And when things are predictable, we're bored. And when things are predictable, we don't really want to do them anymore because we are no longer curious about them. And if we're not curious about something, we don't desire it anymore. So really, this now becomes a conversation of is there anything you're curious about? And, you know, what made you lose your curiosity? But I mean, I see this in relationships all the time. I feel like I'm constantly talking about this in couples work. Like, if you're not curious about your partner, you're going to be bored. And it's the same for anything in your life. If you're not curious about your tarot practice anymore, then yeah, you're going to be bored with it. And if there's no mystery involved and you have nothing, you feel like there's nothing to discover, then you're going to feel stuck.
Oh, I love where you just went. It makes me want to grab the moon card, right?
Because, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, because I think that what happens is the mystery is delightful when it's giving us shiny coins, you know,
or
giving
us
like, like really like, ooh, isn't that wild? You know, when we have like a synchronicity or we have something, we're like, wow, that's crazy. That's when mystery is fun. When it's not fun is I've dabbled with this and I sort of understand the concept of mystery, but I also am still very, very worldly. I'm still like very much attached to like my fleshy experience and I'm still dissatisfied. And so now, gosh, that Three of Swords feels so right for this whole episode. Now I'm distrustful. Now it's like, I feel like I got hurt by it. And it hasn't been enough for me. And I feel betrayed. And it's hard to go back and say, okay, mystery, can we, again, that's that cup two of cups. Can we re-engage? Is there something more? But the thing about it is that if your heart is turned off to it, it's going to be hard to hear.
Oh, that's interesting. So another card that I had pulled that's kind of just sitting here now makes sense too. I love when this happens. And that's Justice, which has been following me around quite a bit lately. But I feel like it blends in nicely with what you were just saying, because there's inherent balance that needs to occur and a sense of equity. And the sense of equity is sometimes like mystery is going to be painful and mystery is going to be exciting. That's the risk that you take with all of this. And I think it's worth the risk. Otherwise, you're just stuck sitting under the tree with the Four of Cups with your arms crossed all the time. And that doesn't feel fun either.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. I think that that's where we've returned to that hanged man. We being stuck in a rut means, I mean, we could also talk about this in terms of developmental stages. Like if you are stuck, maybe it's because you've kind of reached a place in your developmental stage where you're like, okay, yeah, I know what's going on here. And it's time to move forward into a new developmental task or a new set of learning. But, you know, I think that we forget that. We somehow think, earlier I pulled 10 of Pentacles and I like kind of sneered at it because I think that that's, we have this idea of I'm supposed to have it kind of worked out and figured out. And for some reason, we think that we're supposed to have that by the time we're 30. And then it's like, I still am dissatisfied. I still am struggling. I'm still trying to figure out what's next or if there's any purpose or meaning or what joy looks like. And this false promise of I'm going to kind of get there, quote unquote, it's kind of a lie of our culture. I don't know if we ever, I'm really interested in that. Like I have to say, I'm like looking forward. I'm curious to what 70 and 80 is going to look like. I'm really, really wondering about that.
You know, I feel like the way I usually talk about that, especially in session is, you know, we're all climbing this ladder towards self-actualization, but like we're climbing the ladder. Like, are we going to get to that very tippy top? Probably not, but maybe close to it where, you know, we can look back and, you know, reflect and maybe experience like that true joy, that purpose, that meaning of life. But I've been seeing some interviews lately with people who are actually in that they're like 70s and 80s, and it's been so fascinating watching them talk because they all say the same thing. They wish they would have put way less pressure on themselves, and they wish they would have just kind of enjoyed being, which then takes us back to the hangman again.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it takes us back to all of them, right? Earlier, I pulled the world, and that feels right too. You know, like we can be here. It goes back to the idea of suffering too. Why are we engaging with our suffering? Why can we not just put it aside and say, all right, this is boring, or okay, this isn't perfect, but I'm alive and life is, if nothing else, can be interesting and does have the option for surprise and joy if I look for it. But I feel like we do kind of have to look for it, whereas being beaten down and depressed has a way of finding us.
Right. Well, and I mean, I still think it's important to engage with the suffering, but in a very particular way. I know that probably sounds weird. If you're engaging with the suffering and like just kind of perpetuating it, then yeah, it's not helpful. But just acknowledging that it's allowed to exist and it's going to be there, it's always going to exist, is important. And also, like, maybe you're not engaging it. Maybe you're totally avoiding it altogether, which would be worth looking at too, because I think there's some valuable information there.
Yeah, suffering is not, we wouldn't be human if we didn't have suffering. It's a fundamental, and it does teach us. Oh my gosh. When I look at some of the worst pieces of suffering in my life, it has been my greatest teacher. I wouldn't, you know, have asked for it, but it has made the rest of my life better.
Oh, so then we land with kind of the ultimate question, like, what are you learning in this moment of discomfort or in this moment of suffering?
I love that. I feel like that's our walkaway, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so funny. I just cut the deck and I pulled Knight of Swords and I feel like it's just perfect. I feel like that is our walkaway. And sometimes what I'll ask clients and say, like, well, what are you learning? What's the lesson? What is this season teaching you? And once you've learned the lesson, it's time to move on.
Thank you so much for listening to The Tarot Diagnosis. You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok under the handle @TheTarotDiagnosis and join us while we pull daily cards and explore tarot and mental health in between podcast episodes. You can also subscribe to our podcast to make sure that you never miss an episode. If you have a topic or question that you'd like for us to explore on the podcast, you can contact us directly on our website, www.thetarotdiagnosis.com.